Okay, good time of prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here and for participating silently and audibly. Great blessing there. Let's see if we got our not yet, but we'll get it. I'm going to ask you to turn to start out with tonight, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 19. I think we got a half of a screen up there, but maybe you'll be able to catch most of it. Jonathan told me that might happen. But before we read this verse, I just want to ask you a question. A question that some of you have heard before. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? The first time I heard that question, I asked Jim Stewart, asked that question. I tried to do a little tracing back, and the farthest I can go back with that is Adrian Rogers, who's a pastor up in Memphis, Tennessee, died in 2005, and he said it. Whether he got it from Jim or Jim got it from him, I don't know, or somewhere in between, but a good question. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? We've been thinking a little bit about the greatness of our omniscient God. And we're going to go ahead and, while Jonathan gets us here on the screen, we're going to go ahead and read a verse out of Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah 19, and let's start, if we could, there with verse 4. Jeremiah here is speaking, thank you, Jonathan, is speaking to the kings of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Behold, they have forsaken me and made this an alien place because they have burned incense in it to other gods whom neither they, their fathers, nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak. Nor did it come into my mind. We've been thinking about the greatness of our God. We've looked at a variety of the attributes of God. I've got some of them here on the screen. I'm not going to take time to go back over them tonight. But we've also thought about God being all. We've seen that He's all present. He's everywhere present at all the time. And last Wednesday night, Brother Stephen Batt spoke of His omnipotence from Job 38. And we've been looking a little bit on the Wednesday nights when I've been speaking at the truth that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything there is to know about everyone and everything. He has infinite knowledge. And as we thought about that truth, that God has infinite knowledge, and we've looked at scriptural evidence for that, but we've also recognized that it can present some difficulties for us when skeptics or questioners may come to us and say, well, you say that God is omniscient. He knows everything. If God knows everything, then why does it say in the Bible that we ought to pray? God already knows what we're going to pray for. We've already looked at that. You have to go back and Josephina's got that on the website if you want to hear it. Another question we looked at was, if God is omniscient, why does the Bible seem to suggest that God learns? Well, tonight we want to move on and say, if God is omniscient, someone may ask us, and we want to be good apologists, we want to have the answer, and they say, why does the Bible seem to suggest that God is surprised? Well, if you noticed here in the verse that we just read, particularly the fifth verse, it seems to say that God didn't think about that. What does it say there in verse 5? About them burning their sons with fire to a false god. He said, I didn't command or speak that. The last phrase, nor did it come into my mind. Well, someone may read that and say, well, it seems to me that God's saying, I didn't even think about that. Wow. Remember when our grandson Harvey was born over in China, and Kim and I were on the computer on Skype, and Anna was over there, and she was giving us a play-by-play best she could from the waiting room. And finally, the grandson was born, and we get to see him and Josh, and Josh tells us his name. We didn't know his name. We'd been trying to get, what's his name going to be? Harvey. You know, we that never crossed my mind. I never thought, I didn't know anybody younger than 70 years old with the name of Harvey. So, but that's what they wanted, not his great-grandfather, you know, and bring him back that name. But he wears that name so well, I'm proud of him. Wears it well. But it never crossed Kim's mind, never crossed my mind. Probably didn't cross my parents' mind that he would be named Harvey. But with God, it's not that, you know, I never thought about that option. It's not that at all. We know God thought about that option because if we had time, we could look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10. And here's what the Lord said years before this. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. It wasn't that it never crossed God's mind. It had crossed his mind. We don't say things cross God's mind. It wasn't that he had never thought of that because God knows everything. He had already told them years before, don't do this. Now, if he told them don't do this, obviously, it was in his mind. Now, that wasn't what he meant at all. No, rather, what he meant was that he never intended for them to do this. He knew they were going to do. He knew they would do it because God is omniscient. He knows everything, past, present, future. Knows everything about everyone and everything. Everything there is to know, God knows it, and it's not a question of whether or not he knew it ahead of time. He wasn't surprised. No, he was just saying, I never intended for that. When I put them in that land, when I gave them that land flowing with milk and honey, it was never my intention that they would follow after the false gods and false practices of the culture in which they live. I knew they would do it, and they did it. That was never something that I intended them to do. Well, let's look at another verse over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, where some may question and say, well, if God knows everything, the Bible seems to say that he's surprised sometimes. We've already addressed one here. Let's look at another one in Isaiah chapter 5. I love this passage. It's got a lot of wonderful applications. As God speaks of Israel as His well-beloved vineyard. He speaks about a vineyard there. And notice down in verse 5, he talks before that, all that He's done for this vineyard. Look in verse 5. And now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to verse 4. I skipped the verse I wanted to look at. What more could have been done to my vineyard than I have done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? You might say, well, look, God was expecting one thing, and something else happened. If God knows everything, how could He expect one thing to happen, but then something else happens instead? Has that ever happened to you? You thought it was going to be a warm day because you watched Van Denton. And he promised it's going to be warm and sunny, and you wanted it was cold and snowy. You expected one thing and turned out to be something else. You're not omniscient, and neither is Van Denton, and neither is any weather prognosticator. Not even Maher, is he? Not even Maher. He's not even omniscient. But God's omniscient. When God says that it's not what I expected, what He's saying is, this is not what should have occurred. When I did all of this for my people as a nation, when I provided all of this that they might be fruitful for me in the world, reflecting me, blessing the world, I expected one thing, but another thing occurred. Not that He didn't know that it was going to happen. He did. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. He always knows what is coming. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He already knows it. He knows it ahead of time. Well, let's look. We've got a few minutes here. Let's keep going. If God is omniscient, why does the Bible seem to suggest that God changes His mind? Look with me, if you will, over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is not the only place that we find this, but I think it's a good illustration here of some people saying, well, God changed His mind. If God knows everything, why would He ever change His mind? He already knew what was going to happen, supposedly. Why did He change His mind? Well, let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we find Saul disobeying God early in the chapter, disobeying the Lord when He had told him to destroy all the Amalekites, and he didn't do what God told him to do. And so we come down to verse 10, and we read there. I'm reading out of the New King James, and I'll make reference in case you're reading out of the King James, which a lot of you probably are. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Now, if you have the King James, you notice there in the beginning of that where I read, I greatly regret, you probably read, it repenteth me. Am I right there? It repenteth me that I have set up Saul as king. It repenteth me. Well, it looks like God has changed His mind. I chose Saul. Man, I messed up. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to, I shouldn't have done that. No, that's not what God's saying. In fact, look down in this very same passage, down to verse 29. I'll tell you what, go ahead, verse 27. We'll get the context here. Samuel has told Saul that God is rejecting him, verse 27. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who was also better than you. And also the strength of Israel, speaking of the Lord, will not lie or relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Again, if you have the King James, you read there that he will not lie or repent. He is not a man that he should repent. Now, Balaam says the same thing as he prophesies with God controlling his words back in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. A human repents. The word repent means to change your mind. A human repents because he didn't know what the outcome of his choice would be. And so after he makes the choice and he sees what the outcome is, the human says, I changed my mind. I made a wrong decision, a wrong choice. Therefore, I'm going to change my mind. That's not what we're reading here about God. No, Samuel makes it very clear that God is not a man that he should repent in that sense, because God doesn't make mistakes, because God already knows. Now, really, the thought is there that he regrets. He regrets man's response. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a wrong choice. He knew what Saul would do. And yet for his purposes, he allowed the people of Israel to make that choice. We see much the same thought in Genesis 6. Back in the days of Noah, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. It wasn't that God made man thinking that maybe he'll do the right thing and I've got my fingers crossed and I'm really hoping. No, God already knew. God already knew. Some of you may have been in the position as a parent to discipline your child. Can you imagine getting ready to discipline your son and he says, if you do that, I'm leaving home. I'm leaving home. And you know that as a parent, you need to make that discipline effective, and so you bring forth the discipline, and your son turns around and leaves. You would regret that, wouldn't you? But hopefully, if you had prayed about it and made the wise decision, you wouldn't regret disciplining him. You would regret that he responded like he did to the discipline. And that's God's regret. And that's what he's saying here. God didn't change his mind about setting up Saul as king, but he's expressing his sorrow that Saul responded the way he did. And he used wording to which we can relate. And God sometimes does something that is different from what he communicated as a plan, but it's not because he didn't know. It's not because he changed his mind. Rather, it's because it's all part of his plan. And God allows us, and he allows everyone free will to make choices. And in making those choices, unfortunately, sometimes those choices are against God, and he regrets that. But he never changes his mind because he didn't know what was going to happen. No, rather, he regrets the decisions that we make. God is omniscient. The Bible is very clear. The Bible does not leave any wiggle room whatsoever that there is anything that God does not know. There are those who would teach today, even in evangelical fundamental circles, who would say that there are certain things that God doesn't know. Well, that's not true. God knows everything. And so as we approach the Word of God and we see His character, we know that we need to look and interpret these verses based on what is clear about God and how He presents Himself in the Scripture. And so we know God is omniscient. He has reasons for us to pray. We've looked at those. We have reasons that it seems like He learns. He's not really learning anything. He's communicating with us. God's never surprised. He never changes His mind. I hope it will occur to you tonight, if not before, that nothing ever occurs to God. He already knew. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and that we can pray in His name. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who opens up Your Word to us and helps us to apply it and gives us the strength and the wisdom to live it out. Lord, we thank You for the reminder that You know everything about us. Lord, not only what we've done in the past, not only what we're doing right now, Lord, You know what we'll do in the future. And we thank You for that. We thank You for the assurance, Lord, that You're never surprised by anything. And no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what choices we make, You're not going to be surprised. You're not going to be taken off guard. Father, You're never going to change Your mind. We thank You that You know all things. We thank You that You grieve over the sin of Your creation. Father, You grieve over our sin. Father, may our hearts be stirred to seek a greater purity by Your grace. Father, that we might be holy even as You are holy. Thank You that You already know. You know just what we need, Lord, and we thank You for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. May the Lord encourage you. He knows everything already. He knows what you need.